You were born in Thistledwine.
I was born in Thistledwine.
Yes.
And I lived there for 23 years. And then I got married and I lived up the How.
Yes. And your father, your parents lived in Thistledwine?
My father was living in Thistledwine at the time. But he went away and he left Castletown for Londonderry.
Was this in the schooner?
And that's in a schooner.
Which was it? Doesn't matter.
Anyway, she was a schooner. And they were never seen after. They went down all hands.
No trace?
No.
Good gracious.
So anyway, I was only 8 years of age then when he was lost. And when I got 14, I started going to the fishing, cooking for six men. Is this all on the...
Who were you with?
A fellow named Ned Keggan. He lived next door to us, downside of us, but he took the Albert Hotel in Port St. Mary. He married the one that was in it. And the Adalbert Hotel. I was in a boat called the Willie and Nicky, they called them then. And I was down at Kinsale. And then he got in another boat called the Cruiser. She was a bigger boat. It was up to Lerwick and that, and in the Shetlands, fishing heading up there.
How many years did you do that?
I'd done about 3 years altogether. Just for the summer, in from March till the end of September or something, when the fishing's finished.
And what was it like on board?
Well, I had to do the cooking, you see. And I was cooking for six men. And when we put the nets out, there was a rope attached to the bottom of the net to keep it up and down, and corks on the top, you see. Well, when we're hauling the nets in, I had to coil this rope down in this place down below. Well, after that, I had to clean about 40 or 50 fish, whatever they were fishing, what they wanted for breakfast. And I had to cook them fried or boiled or whatever they wanted. And that's the way I done till I was then at 16. And I went steamboat sailing.
What sort of a stove did they have on board?
Pardon?
What did they have to cook on board?
Oh, just a pot and a pan and a kettle for to put on the water.
And a little stove?
There was a little stove there. Yes. So...
Did they take a lot of provisions with them?
Yes, we got all the stuff from Port St. Mary when we went. And of course, if we ran short, we had to get the stuff for sure, and either wherever you were fishing, you see.
Did they have sea biscuits in those days?
Sea biscuits, yes.
Where did they get those?
In Qualtro's, used a baker down there in Port St. Mary. Sea biscuits, they were big rounds. So I went steamboat sailing then. I was cooking for chief engineer and mate and skipper and second engineer. I was getting 15 shillings a week and find myself. And I had to do the cooking there. So anyway, I got in another boat. I give me notice into the skipper and he says, "What are you leaving for?" He says, "I'm not getting enough money." He says, "Where are you going to get more?" Well, I said, "If I don't get more than this, I'll stop home." So anyway, I got in another boat, and I was getting 15 shillings clear, and I found and all. So I stuck that for a while. And then I went, there used to be a battery over in Peel, you could join the Isle Naval Reserve, you see. Well, I joined the Isle River Reserve when I was 17. And I had to do 3 months aboard the man of war for to get me good through gunnery and all. And I passed out that lot, and then when we got finished, that Peel battery was closed altogether, and we had to go down to Devonport and do our drill aboard Had to do 3 drills in the 5 years. So I was going to go join it up again, but the wife said to me, I was married, this is my second wife, you see. Wife says to me, no, you're not going to join. The war broke out, you'd be called up. I suppose I said, if the war would be come up, I'll have to go anywhere, no matter how it is. So anyway, I didn't join it again. So we went out to Liverpool, 3 of us, to look for a ship. And we're all over the docks, and we're coming back, and we got outside the Prince's Dock. And there was a fella standing at the corner of the street there. And he said, are you fellas looking for a ship? And we said, yes. Have you got discharge books? We said, no, we haven't got discharge books. We got reserve books, that'll do, he said. We're in the reserve. Brought us up to a house, and we sat there for a while, and a fellow come in, and he said, have you got discharge books? We said, no, we got reserve books. So we went up to the home and signed on one of Johnson's boats out to Baltimore. It was only £4 a month then. So we got half a month's advance, you see. And after we come out, these two fellows was with me. They were coming with the fellow that took us on, you see, got the job for us. So he shouted to me, he said, you want to give that note to this fella? I thought he was going to change it for us or something. So I gave it to him. Went up Lime Street that night and we met a few fellas we knew, and he asked to see how do we get shipped, and we told him, my God, you're shanghaied. He had £6 out of the 3 of us. All we had to lift when we got back were only 5 weeks away with £2.5. There's no more of that for me.
You'd be wiser the next time.
So I went in one of the Canadian Mediterranean boats. So I was, it's been only £3.10, £3.15 there, and down there. So I was leaving so much home to my mother, you see. And I'd done a trip down there, and I come home, and I went in one of Booth's boats up the Amazon. So when we come back again, I got in one of a molasses tank out to the West Indies. And that put the top hat on me going deep water, because the food we're getting was terrible. I couldn't eat it. I was living on 23 days coming home. Bread and syrup, that's all I was living on. So I said, no more of that monthly boat for me. So I got in a boat run from Liverpool to Glasgow, and I'd done 2 years in her, so I could find myself, you see. We're only getting 28 shillings a week then. And I was sending £1 a week home to my mother.
Was this before the war?
This before the war. I sent £1 a week home to my mother, and I did shillings to keep myself. Anyway, she got married again. So that finished me. So she told me I needn't send no more money home, and I used to send me clothes home to get washed and all the rest of it, but I didn't bother. As I came home and I got married myself.
What was the accommodation like on these boats?
Well, there was only one place for you to all sleep together, the crew, the deckhand, and the firemen had a place to themselves.
You were on deck, were you?
Yes, I was on deck.
Did you have to supply any of your own things?
We had to supply all our own clothes. We had to bring in a bag, a sea bag, all blankets and sheets and all, and pillows and all the rest of it. But now you haven't.
No.
You're provided with all that now if you go anywhere. But we had to bring it all in.
The only sailing boats you would be in would be the fishing boats.
Fishing boats, sailing boats then. To all sail then. There's no motor or anything else in them. Just sort to sail on.
Then I was
in the Meg Merrilies for 2 years, and I left her And I went in another boat, and I was a while in her, and I left her.
Where did the McNally's sir?
Rushed from Liverpool to Glasgow with general cargo. And a boat called the Ribbledale I got in then. So we run down to Wales, Welsh ports, and out from Liverpool, Swansea, and so after that, I got in the Isle of Man boats. And I joined the Ben McCree in 1927, she came out new. And I was in her all the war. In Dunkirk, twice.
Oh, yeah.
The last time we went to Dunkirk, we were by ourselves. The destroyers was coming and in and taking the troops we had. Come on, you'll be in England sooner than nothing. And they were taking it up instead of guarding us while we were in, because we had nothing, only a little gun on the top. They should have been in guarding us while we were in. And we were left alone in, only ourselves waiting for stragglers coming down off the beach. And those two boats went out ahead of us. One was a boat called the Scotia, used to run from Mollyhead to Kingstown. And another little French boat went out ahead of us full up. And we were saying, my God, there's them boats gone out and we're left here alone. Dropped two bombs on us, but they went each side the pier. So we got away. And when we got out, these two boats went out and it was sunk. And the old Mona's Isle, one of the Isle of Man boats, was picking up survivors. And there was shells dropping ahead of us, and shells dropping in front of us. We got away. And I'm still here.
A dreadful experience.
I had some narrow shaves. So I lost the first wife. She died very sudden. She went to the pictures at night and come out at 10 o'clock and she died at 11:45. Okay. And we were on to the beaches then. And I didn't know nothing about it. And my daughter, Alice's daughter, she was married and she lost her husband in wartime. They were going from Preston, to Liverpool to Preston. And she went down, all hands. So he was 10 days buried before she knew that he was found. And they come up to our house and they asked my mother to see, did she know any marks was on his hands or anything. She told him he had Gladys or something wrote and wore, and that was my daughter's name. So anyway, when she went, I lived with me first oldest daughter, the four roads. And my nerves all went and I had to get out of it. So I came home and I was only just got home a few days when the second mate was in the Ben. He was home on leave. He was living in Portsmouth, Mary Cubbin his name is. And I was sitting in the house and himself and his wife come in. He says to me, you're comfortable? I said, yes, and I'm going to be comfortable too. He says, you're coming to Belfast with me? I says, I am not. He says, you have told the super, he says, you're coming with me. Well, I said, you shouldn't have told him, I'm finished. Well, he says, I only want two of you for watchmen. If there's the old Manxman, and the Navy had her in the wartime, you see. And she was getting ready to go down south again. They were getting her done up for to go down. And he says, I only want two of you for watchmen, and you can please yourself when she's ready, whether you're going or not. Off I goes. So he had I was 6-7 months there. And we had nothing to do, a steward waiting on us and found, and we had £6.18 a week and found, and we had nothing to do, only at night time, one of us would stop aboard and have a look around after the workmen had gone ashore, see if there's any fire or anything, and turn in. So the mate was in it then, he had to go back to the Manxman again, you see, and then there was another fella came. So she was ready then, he was going to send for his crew. So he says to me, are you coming with us? I said, no. He says, I was going to make a boast if you'd come with me. I said, no, I'm not coming. So he sent for another chap, a fellow by name of Louis Merrifield. He's living in Port Aaron somewhere. So he came out. So when he was going to send for the rest of the crowd, I thought to myself, there's nothing on for me there, and I was getting all right again. My nose was clear. So I went home. I said, you got all your crew? No, he said, why? I said, I think I'll come with you if you'll have me. Well, he says, you're a blooming fool. He said, I was going to make a bosun, but I can't now with it because I sent for him. I said, I wouldn't have a bosun's job. He said, why? I said, I'd be only a hand rag for you and a hand rag for the crowd, because I'd have to take all orders from him. And if the crew didn't like it, you know, it was me that was going to get the blame. I said, no, not me. So he says, will you take the lanthorn's job? You see, the lantern, I had to look after all the deck stores and all. So I said, I'm on condition on that. And he says, what's that? Well, I says, lantern and the Ben McCree, I said. And I had to keep a lookout on the bridge and me watch on deck the same as the rest, I said. And I'd turn into me watch below and up come to the door. Somebody wanted, well, I had to get out and give it to them. Nothing like that here, he said. You're Damon. And he's the only time I want you out at night, if you're coming to an anchor, I want either you or the bosun, whoever's watch it is, I want one here with me. Right, I said, we'll go. So I went down there. Well, we were running to the galley de door, and I didn't know to. Was there, what place were you in the Vienna? So anyway, I left the Manxman down there and I came home. And I went down to the station hotel for a drink one Saturday night, and I met a chap. And he told me he was going out to join the Victoria on the Sunday night midnight. So I says to him, give the mate a word to see if there's any chance for a job. And she was going on starting on the run, you see, from Liverpool. On Monday, I got a wire saying join her on Wednesday. So I done 2 summers in the Victoria, and I went back in the Ben again.
What was the Victoria like?
She was an Isle of Man boat.
Yeah.
She was a passenger boat.
Mm.
And she was the old Victoria.
Mm.
So that's where I finished up in the Ben McCree.
Mm.
That's where I met her in the Ben McCree.
Yes. You said that you'd sailed in the Ellen Van. Can you remember much about that?
Yeah, well, I went in Ellen Van, and I was 2 summers in her. And the last summer I was there, I got hurt, and I had to go home. I had to leave and go home. My leg got hurt. So anyway, they sent for me the next summer for to come back again. So I didn't get back because it's just too late to get back into it. And it's a good job I didn't get. I would have been gone.
What was she like?
She was carrying passengers and cargo.
Mm-hmm.
She was carrying 12 passengers. And cargo were run sometimes from every other Monday, every fortnight to Whitehaven. With cargo and passengers.
Yeah.
And we also run from Liverpool to Ramsey and Douglas all the time on that run.
What time of the year was it when she went down?
Pardon?
What time of the year was it when she went down?
It was, it would be the back end sometime. I don't know, it would be in November and October or something like that.
You say you were at sea that night?
Yes.
Was it a bad night?
It was a very bad night.
Where were you?
We were going up to Glasgow, and we had to stop for an hour. You couldn't see, and the wind was blowing a gale of wind. You couldn't see anything. We had to slow it down for an hour before we could get on. So we had to call the Greenock first and then go up to Glasgow. We grew up to Glasgow on a Friday, and we heard that she was gone all hands. So that finished me on that lot.
You'll be thankful you'd given it a miss.
Yeah, I did. I was. Yeah, so Barry went down on the Monday morning. I'd have been shipped in it, but they just shipped the man that morning.
You nearly always hear a story of that kind.
Pardon?
You nearly always hear a story of that kind, of somebody who just missed
yes,
a disaster.
Yes.
And you'd know all those people, all those men.
Yes,
those?
I knew them all. Yes.
Who
Great
else?
Friends with them.
Who else was there?
Well, there's some from Ramsey and some from Douglas and was me. And the second mate was in her, the mate was in her. He was Crawford Kinley, I'd know whether he knew him or not. He was super in the steam packet company, but he's retired now. His brother was there. And there was a fellow from Ramsey, and I know because we were in line up at the tongue one time, and this fellow said, Ramsey fellow said to me, he was firing, and he said to me, come on, let's go out for a ride on a bike. I said, never on a bike. Well, he says, come on, we'll get one, we'll learn you how to. So we got it one for a hire for an hour and went to the back of the theatre, the Gaiety Theatre in Douglas. And when I was up, I could do anything on the bike.
That was quick.
The next time we'd go to Peel for a run. So we went to Peel and we got back all right. Next time we'll go to Castletown. So we went to Castletown, went round by the airport and down into Castletown, then we're coming to come up and go round Ballybegway, you see. And just as we got to Russian Abbey, there was a sudden turn there, and there was a lot of kids playing, and I put the brakes on too sudden, away it goes. And there was a lump come up on my hand, you can see there, it come up about that. So I was keeping watch, at night watch for it. Fortnight. Yes. Got all right again.
What were you doing on the island then? What was your job?
I was on deck. I had a sail like Abbey. I had a steering and all the rest of it and get on to me.
Was it general cargo they carried?
General cargo and passengers. Just carrying 12 passengers and cargo. We used to go to the Marpestock. Up in Liverpool anyway, we're going to one of the docks up here.
How long did the trip used to take in those days?
Well, it's taken about 5 hours in Elmbannon. Of course now it's only 3 hours and a half to 4 hours.
Were you ever in a very bad storm in any of these boats?
Oh, yes. Yes, we had some hard passages. Yes. I remember one time we were coming from Liverpool, from Douglas to Liverpool. God, she was rolling. And I was standing at a corner, and there was as long as this room to the ladies' toilet, you see, and they were coming down from the saloon down. And I had to get hold of them to bring them in. I never handled so many women in my life before. So anyway, the stewardess come down. The stewardess that was in there after the ladies' cabin, she had to go in the buffy. The one on buffy left, and the forest stewardess, the chief stewardess, she had to do her work. She come down. The next thing I seen her going on. And I had to dash in and get a hold of her. And we brought her into the dining saloon, and I went, then I called the steward and the cashier, and they got her away. And there was a fella standing at the bottom of the stairway, and she took one roll, and I seen him going away, and he broke his arm down on the other end of it. And I was mopping sick up then on the deck, and there was a man and woman standing at the bottom of the other stairway, and the woman says to me, "I don't know how you fellas is able to do it," she said. And I said, "You ever see me doing the twist?" And he started to laugh.
No, it must be an unpleasant job at times.
Oh, it was. And you had to, you know, mop all sick up, and you had to go to the wheel and all the rest. Of course, when I was Lantrim, I hadn't to go to the wheel, but I had to stop on the deck and watch me deck all the time.
What is the Lantrim's job?
He had to look after all the deck stores, and he had to do the lamps at night time. There was no electric that was put out, so there was, down on the main deck, you see, there was oil lamps there.
Yeah.
Had to get all them ready. And get the stores. You had to go up to Douglas when we wanted stores. I had to write all the stores I wanted, the list, and give it to the mate, and then he had to copy it out onto another paper, and then I had to go up to the Imperial Buildings, and then I had to go then and go up to the store place and get me stores and bring it down the hand cart. Some fellow would come with me sometimes.
What sort of hours, how many trips would you do in those days?
Well, there was only like one on a day, and then when I was in Ballinmanan and all of this. But of course, when I was in the Ben McCree, I've seen it starting on a Thursday and never finished till Monday. You're going this way and that way all the time. Look at this summer, though, the way they've been going. Of course, it is, the more trips you've done, it's the better for yourself, the more money you got.
It wouldn't be well paid in the earlier days, I suppose.
No, they were only getting some very small wages. There was only about, I know, 2 and 6 for if you'd done a double trip in the daytime or something like that.
2 and 6?
2 and 6 or something. That's on your wages, you see. But now, I don't know what they're getting now is about 15 bob or something like that. Or a pound. No, it's not. I believe it's 25 shillings now, isn't it? Doing a double run.
I think it runs about that now.
25 bob now.
It was a pound extra when I was on. But there'll be more now.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
Well, the conditions will be far better now. It'll be pretty bad in those days on board. I suppose the accommodation would be...
Well, I believe now I hear that the accommodation of sailors and firemen, they got two, it's all divided out and only two in a room.
Yeah. What was it like, say, on the Ellenmann?
Oh, well, it was all together then. All the sailors was in one room and firemen in the next room.
Mm. How many of the crew were there?
There was about, let's see, about six or so, on the ABs, you know, but then there was firemen and stewards and all the rest of it after that. I suppose there'd be about 30 or 40. But then the Ben McCree, there was, how many was there?
16 sailors, and the crew amounted to about 75 altogether.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's stewards and that's firemen and sailors and engineers and purses and all that.
Did you like the life at sea?
Yes, I wish I was going now.
Yeah.
He'd go tomorrow morning if they let him go.
If they let me go, I'd go.
How did your family come to the Isle of Man in the first place? It's not a Manx name, is it?
Which?
How did your family come to the Isle
well,
of Man?
Well, my father was born in Ireland. And he was reared up over here, and that's how my mother met him. And he was club-footed, 2 feet was like that. When he was wrong, he had to get special shoes for to put on him. And he could go up looking like a monkey. He was a smart man in those days, just only short.
Where was he sailing in this schooner? What sort of trips did he used to make in
the schooner? They were cargo, and they were going from Runcorn with salt to up to what did I say?
I don't know, dear, I'm sure. Round Corn to Glasgow, was it?
No.
Was he going up into Ireland somewhere?
Up to Ireland, no way up in north of Ireland. I told you that, didn't I?
I think you did. And you never heard what happened?
No.
Londonderry, you had said he went.
Londonderry, that's right.
You never heard anything more about
never
him?
Never heard any more about him.
And then your mother would be left with...
She was large. She had to go to work for us then.
Oh yes, you said she worked in a net factory.
She worked in a factory making nets. Those big machines and been as long as this room here.
How did they work them?
They started them with something, and then it started going, and there was what they call treadles, it was. There was one about that, and they had to step on that when it got so far. There was another bit higher, and they had to put their feet up on that, and then there was another one out high again. And that's the way they had to put, and that was finished, and when she put the last on the higher step, then the thread had gone right to the other end of the machine.
Whose factory was that?
The co-op factory.
Mm. When did they close down?
Oh, they've closed down for years now.
Mm. Yes, a long time.
Yes.
This was when you were very young, wasn't it?
Yes.
When you were a child?
Yes.
Not many people remember that.
No.
They had fishermen's supplies there, hadn't they? For the fishing boats in those days?
Yes. They had a lot of food stuff and all the rest, but then, of course in the bake we had to go to the baker shop for bread and biscuits and all the rest of it.
Yes. Plenty of life in Port St. Mary then?
Pardon?
It'd be lively in Port St. Mary.
Oh yes, you could walk from one pier to the, from one side to the other.
Yes.
on the fishing boats. When in the winter time, when they were all laid up there. And the schooners and all used to come in there. But now you don't see any of these little scallopers, there's nothing there now.
What did the fishermen do in the winter time?
Well, I don't know, they were... Some of them was working on the roads and all those, with, you know, on the highway board and all that, if they could get work there.
Did they mend nets?
Well, no. They mend the nets aboard the boat when they were fishing. You see, if there was a net torn, you had to mend them.
It'd be rather a difficult
time. Some of them
was
going to Liverpool and getting a ship, you see, then.
And then they'd come back in the summertime.
And they'd come back again in the summertime when you'd be...
There'd be no other employment, I suppose.
No, it was nothing then. I tried to, I'd like to have got for a baker or a joiner or something like that, but I couldn't get a job.
It'd be difficult.
Yes.
And I suppose that's why a lot of...
You had to be in the clique.
Had you? So. How many years were you with the...
How many years were they there?